Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Baby Boomers' Guide to Life in the 21st Century, where the theme is the progress of the Royal Commission into Quality and Safety in Aged Care. And my guest today is Craig Gear, who is the CEO of OPAN. That's the Older Persons Advocacy Network. Hello today to you, Craig.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me along.
Craig, can you tell us, what is OPAN?
So OPAN, the Older Persons Advocacy Network, is a member organisation of the 9 state and territory organisations that provide the National Aged Care Advocacy Program. And these guys have been doing what's termed NACAP, so that aged care advocacy, for about 25, 30 years. And we decided to come together as organisations across the country in 2017. So aged care advocacy, an aged care advocate is the person who walks beside you, helps you raise your issues, provides information, education and support so that people can stand up for their rights in relation to aged care. So it's about trying to get the most effective aged care system and get the best out of aged care system for people.
And it's quite closely linked to the Commonwealth-funded aged care services, isn't it?
Yeah, so our funding does come through the Commonwealth. So we get a grant, which is part of the Aged Care Act. And the actual Aged Care Act does actually say, look, part of funding aged care, you should fund aged care advocacy services so that people who may be more vulnerable or not have the sort of levels of access that everyone does to aged care can be supported and can have someone that can speak up for them when they need to or give them the skills and tips and tricks to raise the issue themselves, which was what we could refer to as self-advocacy. So we're a free service, we're independent of government and we're independent of aged care providers, which is really important.
Independence is the key.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Independence and being directed by the older person themselves. I think that's the other thing, is that we call ourselves partisan in the best way possible because we are on the side of the older person.
And this program is based in Sydney, in Marrickville. So I guess you're, for New South Wales, the organisation is the...
Seniors Rights Service, yeah. So Seniors Rights Service are based in Surry Hills. We're actually lucky enough to cohabitate with them in their offices. So I see some of the great work that the advocates here do. There's 8 advocates in New South Wales, number of about 5 of those across the region. So we've got offices in Lismore, Dubbo, Wagga, and someone on Port Macquarie, someone in the South Coast as well. And they'll take phone calls from people. So they ring our 1800 700 600 free call number, and that gets them through to one of the advocates who can talk through some of the issues that people might have in either navigating into the aged care system, but particularly once they're in aged care, and about how to get the best out of the aged care system.
So, Craig, can you tell me, why do we have a Royal Commission into Aged Care Quality and Safety?
If I take it to the macro level, you actually have got a very big system that is supporting, depending on what types of services you look at, is about 1.3 million people who are receiving some form of aged care. And that's a lot of money going into it from the Commonwealth, and a lot of money also from people co-contributing to their aged care, whether it be at home, community support, or in residential aged care. So you get a system like that, it gets complex. And then particularly if you have trying to bring in a free market in that, so people have choice and control of the aged care, which is a really good thing. But sometimes when you do that, the systems changes are quite difficult. Also, there'd been a number of reviews around quality and safety, but there'd been, I suppose, segments of looking at the system. It hadn't been that sort of root and branch or end-to-end type look. And I suppose that's what the Royal Commission allows us to do now, is to have a proper look at the system end-to-end, look at not just the funding, but look at what people expect. The other problem is we haven't really had a conversation in Australia about what we expect from our aged care services. This is starting to shine a light on that, shining light on some bad behaviour. Luckily, it's only a small amount of bad behaviour, but that needs to be really rooted out.
You did mention some bad behaviour. It was a couple of really quite disturbing revelations that kicked off this Royal Commission.
Yeah, and a lot of those were driven by the older person or their family detecting something, and usually detecting abuse. Luckily, the figures are a little bit wobbly about the amount of abuse that goes on, but it's relatively small when you compare to the numbers of hours of aged care service that's provided. However, one case is one too many. And I think that we need to make sure that there's a system and a systemic approach that protects older people, particularly those maybe with cognitive decline, a bit of dementia, other issues that may find it harder to speak up for themselves. We need the protections in place, and we just hope the Royal Commission does that.
So what's been revealed so far?
I have to say it's an interesting process to go through with the Royal Commission, and coming to this job wasn't something I was expecting to be involved with. And in some ways it's a real privilege to be there and actually be the voice for consumers, for older people, and to actually raise the issues, and particularly around advocacy and what's needed out there around greater availability of people to walk alongside, support people to tell their stories, to raise issues. And a number of the cases that we've heard are about issues of communication, issues of inadequate care. But for me, the most disturbing ones have been the issues around restraint. And that can be either physically tying someone or constraining them from being able to have free movement. But also what we're seeing a lot is the chemical restraint. So people given quite high strength antipsychotics and other drugs, sometimes appropriately, but other times without the proper consent and check processes in place. And that's a bit disturbing, that either staffing or other reasons have meant that people are being controlled with drugs to help control their behaviour. The government had been doing some work on that area to try and restrict or put some controls around that sort of practice. I think we're yet to see whether those controls are going to be adequate enough, because in the end, we've got a system where you've probably got general practitioners that sit slightly outside the aged care, particularly in aged care facilities, and then you've got the provider who is delivering the care and support. And there's got to be a better interface between that health and ageing system. But an over-reliance on medications to manage behaviours is just not on.
So what has OPAN's contribution been to the Royal Commission?
Yeah, so I appeared on the second day of the Royal Commission, and that was about really setting the scene of what we saw as community organisations as some of the issues and what we thought are some of the solutions. At OPAN, we're talking about a much more empowered group of, we say consumers for a reason. Consumers have rights under consumer law, and I think that older people who are in families are in receipt of aged care need to know their rights and need to be empowered to actually stand up and exercise those rights. So that's something we talked about at the Commission. We made submission as a witness and were allowed to appear on the second day of the Royal Commission. We're also putting together a number of submissions regarding particular issues that we think are needed. Things like, how do we make sure that access is equitable for people in rural and remote areas? How do we make sure that they can still access an aged care advocate when they need to? How do we improve that health and ageing interface? And how do we make sure that there's enough home care places to meet the demand that's out there? There's sort of three really key issues that if we started to work on those, plus promoted people's rights under the Single Charter of Aged Care Rights, we'd go a long way to actually improving the aged care system.
I recall that the submission, I think, of COTA had a lot to say, concerns about the way that funding of services for older people is arranged, particularly to residential aged care facilities. Mm. Have you got anything to say about that?
The tool that is used at the moment, which is commonly referred to as the ACFI tool, ACFI, and it, I suppose, had some challenges in what it was looking at. So it was looking at dependency, but not possibly in the right mechanisms. And the funding levels tied to that have been reported to be have been inadequate depending on the level of need. So the government and Professor Kathy Eager from University of Wollongong have been working on a study looking at a better resource utilisation model. And pleasingly, there's going to be a trial of that funding model. And hopefully that government will support increased funding, but in the end, increased funding only gives you good enough results if you've got the right people in place. This is about really having staff with the right attitude, with the right training, and being in the right place at the right time. If you don't have those sorts of things in place, or if you're putting the wrong types of staff with the wrong attitude in place, you still have problems with the system. Funding is only one part of the answer.
So culture is a matter as well, I suppose.
Absolutely, absolutely. And culture comes from the top, comes from the board of the organisation that's providing the care and support. It also comes from that frontline manager. So the care centre manager is so vital in this because they'll set the culture and the tone. It's that stuff that's spoken about, the behaviour that you walk past is the behaviour you tolerate. And you do see that sometimes where busyness or lack of training or whatever allow things to slip by. We can't have that anymore. And investing in that culture and that management to have a really environment that celebrates the staff, because they do a really good job, but they need to be supported.
So, Craig Gear, what happens next?
So that's the interesting thing. We're waiting on a decision around, I suppose, the interim report and what will be contained in the interim report. That's meant to be handed down by the Royal Commission in October. Their final report at this stage is meant to be in April. Now, it's a really short time. I don't think we've had a Royal Commission that's kind of dealt with something so complex as this and so quickly. So I'm hoping that the Royal Commission will be allowed the time to ponder these things appropriately and to come up with solutions that are actually going to work and really to listen to the aged care sector, the consumer groups, the community organisations, not-for-profits, the unions, the service providers themselves and the health professional groups, because if you can listen to all of those, I think we can come up with solutions, but it's not the time for Band-Aids. We need something that's actually going to make a difference.
So I suppose it's not just a matter of the conclusions of the Royal Commission, it's what happens afterwards, the implementation, the changes in policy and law.
Absolutely, and while some aged care reform has been continuing on, which is great, and we want to see more of that, we're really supportive of that, we actually do need to have a conversation in Australia around ageism and also about what we expect out of our aged care system, how much we expect to contribute ourselves, what's realistic, but the level of care and support that we expect and need and the choice and control that we want in that aged care system. They're the conversations I think need to start to happen once we start having some of the interim reports handed down to actually say, well, what do we want this system to be 10, 15, 20 years into the future? What do we have to do now to get that system?
And we have an ageing population, so we better pull our fingers out.
Sustainability is going to be a big issue. This stuff costs, yeah, and we've got to work out a way that we can sustain the aged care system. All of us will probably use it to some level at some stage in our life if we're lucky. It's a good thing that we can use it.
Craig, do you have any final messages to the listeners of this program about OPAN and the Royal Commission into aged care quality and safety?
Good news is that we've actually been given a very small amount of money, but some money anyway, to help people tell their stories. So we have on our website at opan.com.au the details of our callback service to help people to tell their stories and put a submission into the Royal Commission. And the other thing I'd say is that we're always here to provide information, education and assistance if people have got concerns about their aged care or the aged care someone else might be receiving, or even someone might be at risk of abuse from someone, be it financial, family member, psychological, whatever. And our advocates are there to help. So they're available 8 to 8, Monday to Friday, on 1800 700 600. And I've encouraged people to pass that number around if they think they know someone who might need a bit of support.
And we'll have to post those links on the website when the time comes to put this interview onto the internet. I want to thank you very much, Craig Gear, for speaking to us today on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century.
More than welcome. Thanks, Jeff.